bourbon boy song.
Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the least other bourbon. This 40th age double pot distilled non-chill bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel, vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as caramel. Finish with slightly French walnut, resolving sweet, fruity, almost brown cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick, respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly.
Welcome to another podcast of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, but we have two special guests. It's bourbon night right now, and Chad and Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm
like
so...
Would you like me to do an acapella version of your theme song?
Go. I would not.
No, you wouldn't? No.
Hey, we're open.
Yeah, we're open if you want to. I mean, I love that song.
We do.
I have my
lights
off all ready. No, I'm already.
There you go. But this is totally, totally exciting for us. But I have a question. So... You guys, obviously, in your podcast, you're together. Are you married?
No.
I sure as hell love so.
We are.
Otherwise, okay. Why am I wearing this ring all the time?
Okay, but it's like that. But I watch
you're
and
I'm married to other people.
Okay, married to other people. Okay.
We're married to each other.
Right. But at the same time, your last names are different. Whenever you read anything, are they different?
Well, it's sort of like when, you know, movie stars get married, they keep their last names. We're pretty much movie stars. So
that's not how I look at it.
That's not how Sarah looks at it.
So when you started, you weren't married?
Correct. When we started, we were just friends.
Okay.
Not even dating.
Well, that's spectacular.
And here we are. And we got married in late 2019, and then the world was like, congratulations. You get to only spend time with each other from here on out. Good luck.
Yeah.
So we've been married for 2 years and also 20 years.
Okay, and the same... Yeah, and it's kind of like when we met up the other night, I was talking to, because my wife comes in and podcasts. Actually, the idea to have her coming on podcast came from you guys, because I was watching you guys, and I'm just like, okay, that makes sense, because Sarah, you have such a unique personality, and your eyes are very telling when you're drinking about you can tell when she doesn't actually like it that much, and she'll say it, but she's thinking about it, and you kind of can see they kind of go off to the right, but it's like very your facial features are very, very pronounced, and it's really kind of a cool thing.
He said you have a tell.
I appreciate your study of my face. I don't think that you're wrong. I agree that I do. I guess I didn't realize I did it to such a tell.
Oh, no.
You have to understand, Jeff is a people watcher, okay? Yeah. So whereas normal people wouldn't notice such things, he notices them.
I'm an artist, and actually a lot of my paintings is watching people like at a festival like this, and then capturing the photography, and then finding the right composition, putting it all together, maybe taking three shots or whatever, making it work, and then paint it. I digitally paint it and then print it out and put it on acrylic. So I was a commercial artist for a long, long time. And then I got out of that and went into recycling, but then I went into fine art for myself. But then that what didn't really take off. I did a lot of art, but it's just not, there's not a lot of, what would you say? It's hard to get a YouTube art channel.
You don't
popular.
Make any money
right.
at it.
Right, you make no money. So then I just took the next best thing, drinking bourbon and whiskey, and tried to do this, all that I learned, and I've got that down kind of thing. But I'm still amazed at what you guys do and the comments, you know how you have the comments and people pay to comment on there? That's fantastic, and you always are getting the... Sometimes when you, especially when you do this stuff more for charity and that type of thing, some people really contribute a lot. And,
oh, yeah, we have a house.
Yeah, come on, TV.
And, as we found, not just with us, but when we go on other podcasts, other YouTube channels, we meet other people in the bourbon community, we just find that whiskey drinkers are just cut from the best cloth. They really are. They are just such amazing, collaborative,
generous
people, and they will give to good causes, and they will give you the shirt off their back, they will pour you their best bottle that they have. They're just so generous, and we really have to strain to think of someone that we've met in the whiskey community who's not a good person. It's hard to find someone who is not an awesome person who drinks whiskey, and it can't be a coincidence. I feel like it's a whiskey fabric.
For sure. I feel like we work for them. Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then also, like you said, not only the people who drink and follow you, but also the people who make it are just so open to, you know. And then once you get to meet them and know them, you actually become friends with them. You know, it's not like that you just know them, you do it, and you never see them. It's just like that. It's like the next time you'll be at another festival, and you've only done one podcast or whatever, and they come right up to you and talk about, you know, how great it's been, or, you know, like Wally Dant. I mean,
oh, don't even get me started.
We met him last night. He's
the kindest human.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's great.
Yeah.
You know, and we see it in the bourbon community. Like, the master distillers are all friends with each other. They have this. They subscribe to this thought that a rising tide lifts all ships, right? And we see that echoed in the whiskey too community. Community, it's the same thing, like a rising tide raises all ships. And it's a great kind of echo, right, that starts in the industry that then goes into the fan community.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, I completely agree. So, you got something?
No.
He's just stunned to be next to them.
Yeah.
He's usually used to the people, like the distillers and everything, and making it. He's got great questions.
I know, I'm just sort of soaking it all in and learning from you guys now, because to try to step up my supernatural.
Well, what I think is great is that, you know, you guys are our kids' age. Watching podcasts, because Jeff watches them while he's riding his elliptical, and, you know, I'll come downstairs and see him, and I'm like, oh, look, there's young people podcasting about bourbon. It's not just a bunch of old guys, you know, sitting around smoking cigars and talking about bourbon, but it's cool to see.
Plot spoiler, you know, we're ancient.
You guys are literally turning to dust as we look at
you. Yeah, we are. There's
some gusty wind, and they're like,
it's we're so gone. Funny, yeah. Though, because I have gotten that before. Like, I'll walk up to a bar and order like a barrel proof whiskey beef, and if he's not with me,
oh yeah, you're getting carded.
The old guy is next to me, will say, "Well, darling, are you sure?" And I'll be like, "Well, yes." What do you mean? Am I sure? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, I will drink you under the table.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Now, one thing, now that I've been doing this for a while, I realized that women love proofed,
high-proof
whiskey. There's no doubt. They enjoy it. They enjoy the flavor. It's much more flavorful, where there's a lot of guys, there's some guys that are just looking for that one thing, that one straight flavor across. That's not a woman. You know, and there's just so much more taste in a high proof, but I've done a couple of tastings now for some people, and I've done it with beginning women, and I'll start out and just finish with a high proof, you know, just so that they know what's out there. And when out of nowhere, they're like, I like that. They've never drank whiskey ever for a tasting ever, and they're like liking the 114 proof barrel strength.
Yeah, we like the flavor.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you've heard the quote science.
We
are supposed to be able to taste things at a higher level just to protect kids.
Right.
You know, to know what is and isn't okay to give them.
Well, they say.
So it's science. It's not your fault.
Yeah, it's
so they say that
men
and women overall taste the same, but 33% of women are super tasters, and only 17% of men are super tasters. All women smell way better than men because of the child, you know, the aspect for that, and then when they cook. They smell to keep that's in there. It's natural. And so that part is the coolest part because you have a much better, that makes you a better taster because you remember from the smells of what something actually tastes like where we don't remember that as much.
Well, she's definitely a super taster.
Yeah. Well, I can tell. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Glad we could bring that out of them.
Our anniversary is next week, so I guess
we can. Yeah, there you go. And then, it's funny having you guys on right now, and just both of your facial interaction, my face is exactly the same as always. He agrees, and and I can just tell because we've been married for 36?
I don't know. We stopped counting at
35
years. 35 years. Yeah, so 35 years.
No.
Yeah.
You guys don't look like you could have been married for 34.
Yes, our oldest child is 33, going on 34.
What?
Nothing.
No, when I was.
We were in our 20s.
Yes. Yeah, that just.
So my birthday is what? Tomorrow?
September 19th.
19th is my birthday.
Thank you.
And mine's September 21st, so we usually celebrate a little on the 19th, a lot on the 20th, and a little on the 21st.
Well, that's our anniversary.
Right, oh, excellent.
There you go.
Cool. I will never forget that.
I will.
Yeah, you can always tell people what year you graduated high school and make them do math.
I don't like math.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got into this industry. Don't have to do that.
And you've let everybody know
what year you were born.
Especially after a couple pours when you guys are trying to do math, that's always the same here.
Yeah.
Nothing beats bourbon math.
Right. I don't know what is so with Scotch producers and their ABV. They're like, just put proof, don't make me do math.
Right, exactly.
Proof over ABV.
I gotta get my calculator out.
Besides art, the only thing that I was somewhat good at was math, so the ABV doesn't bother me. I'm just like, oh, ABV, it's just fine.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, I'm sure that doesn't really help.
So what you're saying is next time I get hung up on the ABV, I can just call you.
Oh, sure.
Facebook. That would be great. That would be something to do. That would be cool. If you guys are podcasting, we're podcasting, then we get a call going between each other, like, you know, dial a friend or whatever.
It's like, what was it? What was it on the $1 million? The question?
What's phone a friend?
Yeah, phone a friend. There you go. Well, I'll make chips, and then you can use the chips for phone a friend.
What's 59.31
ABV? 118.16.
I don't know.
Probably.
That's not probably.
I couldn't tell you if it was right or not.
No.
I'm not my calculator.
What was the question?
That's 118, and then 0.631. You said 0.32 or 0.31? Yeah, 31 and 31, 62. Wow, like I said, it's how my brain works.
I wasn't expecting to be like, oh, you got me. That's the one. That's the one.
Friend.
I don't know.
No, thanks. I appreciate that.
I feel like that deserves a round of applause.
No. Now I will say, because of the schedule today, I've barely gotten a par. I could get, you know, go up into the VIP, go up there, whatever, and nothing.
We need to fix that for you.
Yeah, I know, but...
What's been your favorite thing that you've had so far?
Let's you go first with that, Mr. Super Nash.
That I've had here would have to be the Michter's Toasted Barrel Burger.
Well, you know, that's a good answer, because that's what I was kind of thinking.
I second that. Yeah. That was pretty
I'm
good.
A third.
There's no one that I had that I don't know if we're allowed to say, because it wasn't exactly on the menu.
You're allowed to say.
You can say whatever you want.
Yes, hey.
There's a ton of stuff that wasn't on the menu.
Yeah, I have to retract that, because there's one that I had the other night, Mr. Friend. Hell yeah.
Oh, the 2020.
You did it.
Yes. He pulled out a bottle, or had the girl pull out a bottle of the 2020 Deli limited edition and poured us a pour.
Can you give me one?
Hey, Super Nash, I will try.
Here you go. Here's my glass. So, don't come back until you have it.
Okay. He's right in my
head. So it's Xavier. He had gone over there, and he's always been part of our podcast and everything, but he's able to. He had some health issues, but he's healthy now, and he's been able to come with us. And all of a sudden, he was in the tent in Four Roses, and we were all outside. And he's talking to Brent. And I'm just going, I come up and I'm like, he's like, I was talking, and he's like, and he's told me, I gave him the card and he wants you to come over, and I'm like, I look over and there he is, and I'm like, you know, you're talking to the master distiller.
I said, yeah, I knew exactly who I was talking to.
So we went over there, and then he was talking about barley riding, and
I haven't had my barley shirt on, and he had a friend there that likes to ride barley.
All of a sudden, the limited edition starts coming out.
The limited edition started flowing.
I gotta say, I truly think the best thing about Brent Elliott is when you start talking to him, you never end up talking about bourbon. You end up talking about something that Brent Elliott loves to talk about, and he gets so excited about the conversation that you're like, oh wait, there's other people in line to talk to him. I guess we should stop talking about TV shows. And get out of the way.
But then all of a sudden, that while you're doing that, he breaks out the limited edition, and then you're drinking that, and you're just going, yeah, let's talk about the TV show.
I could literally all night talk to him.
Well, which is how bourbon is like designed, right?
Yeah. You know?
I mean, sometimes, yes, we get caught up talking about the bourbon that we're drinking, but most of the time we're drinking the bourbon and we're talking about some other conversation that we're really passionate about or excited about. And I feel like, you know, it's with Brent, you're just completely talking with a bourbon buddy.
Yep.
When you're talking with
yes.
a so real person.
It's easy like Sunday morning.
Yep, easy like Sunday.
He's a true gem and so easy to talk to.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That's one of the things. And then at first, I thought that getting people on the podcast would be hard. You know, like, and then some places, even through, I did Greg Schneider, who distills Chicken Cock Whiskey right now. He knows so many people in the industry, and he introduced me to Harlan Wheatley, okay?
Yeah.
So Harlan was going to give us a live live interview, but then their distillery kind of went back to COVID protocol. So I've got one coming up this next Thursday at 10 a.m. in the morning, but through Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
But I met I don't know her name offhand, but the marketing director there, and she's in charge of everybody. So she's going to get me. She got me that, and now she's going to give me a what?
Talking about Amy.
Yeah, Amy. Yeah. Now it's going to be Freddie too through Zoom, and said
nice.
I could come down when it's all over. He'll go out. He could go out of his way to have us down there. But it's so the connectivity isn't hard. It's just kind of like once you say who you are, they want to be a part of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know, and we talk about, you know that we're just the word of mouth that we do for what we're doing for them,
yeah.
that they do for us. It just works both ways, right?
It's a good relationship. Like when you get people, especially like that are just willing to collaborate with you and give you the time. Like honestly, take the time out with us yesterday to have 2 hours.
Yeah.
Just give us the lowdown on his distillery and his vision and everything. It means the world. And like that's also what helps people get invested too in those brands, because there's so many to choose from.
Yes.
Well, and it's cool. You meet them, and then as you keep meeting them over and over and becoming, like you said, friends, all of a sudden, then all of a sudden, while you're for the podcast, where initially you kind of taste with them or whatever, all of a sudden samples or bottles start showing up to taste with them, and it's just, that's a great aspect.
It's a nice surprise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nobody's mad about it.
No.
No, yeah. Not at all. Not at all.
Now, I have a question for you.
Okay.
When you get these samples, do you feel any pressure when you get these samples? How do you remain neutral?
That's the whole... Okay, so so far...
Brutally neutral sometimes.
What?
I said you're brutally neutral sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just... It's a good thing. I think the audience is often... not concerned, but I think it kind of scratches the back of their brain. Like, I'm happy to see the people that I'm listening to or watching getting these PR samples so they can tell me what they think about this thing I can't get. However, is their judgment colored by the fact that they got it for free or the fact that they have a relationship with this
thing? And some people we've seen in comments, no matter how you present it, if you got it for free, they just automatically think.
They write you off.
Right.
How do you deal with that?
We're honest, and we do this thing called our barrel bashing rating system, and everybody we rate, you know, the four principal areas: the nose, the taste, the body, and the finish. And you know, Tiny gets very complex with how he rates something. Martin is right up there. I'm more hand to mouth. I'm a very simplistic approach to it. But we all give each one of those factors where we think it should be. And we're rarely right up there. I mean, some of us will like the nose of one bourbon, but not the taste. And we'll like neither of another bourbon, but man, the finish is good. And then the other thing is we'll have a fantastic nose, fantastic taste, and then it just mails it in as far as the finish and body. And so we all pick out those different aspects, you know, and like Roxy has a very complex palate. You know, Mrs. Xavier, who's not here at the moment and not part of the podcast, has her thoughts on it too. But it ends up being, you know, what we finally rated is based on what the bongo bash or the barrel bashing was.
So it's an average.
It's an average.
Which is nice.
It's an average.
But the one thing that I got is that people who listen to the podcast know I'm not a rye fan, okay? So when it comes to rye, I'm brutally honest, but I say it that everybody likes. You can love what I hate, but if it's a rye, and especially MGP, I can't freaking stand it. It tastes like dill pickles, celery, and sometimes some form of formaldehyde to me.
That's very specific.
Right, yes. Right. But so I'll rate it zero. I mean, I've had some, like Heaven's Door, I actually went out. It's our number one podcast, and I called it Old Man's Urine. And then everybody asks me what I thought, you know, but like, how do I know that? So it usually gets me in trouble.
We lost it on the podcast. Said,
we try not to be judgmental.
I told them.
Wait, how does he know that?
Because I'm over.
Do we really need to go there?
That's why we lost it. We don't, tried to figure that out. Yeah.
How does he know?
Know that, exactly. So, but anyways, but then now that's the one that it just keeps getting downloaded over and over every day. I mean, I'm just like,
and I'm sure people have gone out to buy it to see if it really tastes. Like
yeah,
and
so
it piques interest.
Right, yeah. Now I haven't really. Now people have told me there's bad bourbons, but even a young bourbon to me tastes good to me. So I might say it's young, and I think it needs, you know, because it's not. It's 2 years old. But I've had, we just had 36-month-old bourbon at Ely. And the single barrel was fantastic.
It was enjoyable. It was really enjoyable.
They do a great job.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what's coming from them.
Yeah.
They are on the right path. Like, I can't wait to see
what they're doing. I'll tell you what, if you like absinthe, their absinthe blows away any absinthe I've ever drank.
Really?
I want to touch base on this. We got started into this. We weren't getting media samples. We're just now starting to get the media samples. You know,
yeah,
we started in this.
Isn't it like Christmas morning?
Yes. Yeah. He made Christmas morning for me. This guy right here is like
he's bourbon claws.
I went out and started purchasing these bottles and finding these bottles and getting them, and then just started shipping up samples. And we just started tasting all this on our own.
Right.
Not from media samples.
Right.
Yeah, so we could be honest.
Brutal, you know, we were honest.
Because you paid your money for it.
Yeah, we truly were honest because it was my money. And then, you know, and so that's how it became honest thing.
And very
excellent. I think that's how a lot of the distillers and all that started watching and these guys aren't cookie cutter. They're not just doing this out of the media samples and for the ratings of the gold awards and things like that.
Yeah, you have to be honest because otherwise your credibility is going to be shot and then no one will ever believe what you say. So we're honest whether it's sent to us or whether we go out and buy it. And the majority of the time we go out and spend our own money on it. But if it's a media sample, if it's something that they send to us, just as honest as if we went and spent our own money about it. But one thing we kind of realized, and it actually was a couple years into our tenure, whatever you want to call it, journey, is that, and you kind of see this in some younger podcasts or YouTube channels or whoever it is, like, you can get a little bit of a rush, and also the audience can kind of get behind when you start, like, trashing something that you really don't like, and you just start talking about...
I think it's the internet.
It's the internet effect. You start...
Of negativity.
The internet of negativity.
People like to hate.
But what you eventually realize is that there is someone who spent their blood, sweat, and tears out there, and money and time, and there's also fans out there who enjoy it, but mostly it's the makers behind it who think it is a good product, and they put their time and effort into it. So there's a certain type of touch that we've learned to take with reviews, to where as long as your fan base knows exactly how you feel about it, and there's no bones about it, but there is a touch to take about it when reviewing a product that you don't enjoy. And I feel like that's kind of the difference that can separate some outlets.
Yeah. Watershed Distillery is our sponsor, okay?
Yeah.
And their initial bourbon small batch, okay, that they put out all over Ohio, it's everywhere, okay, I wasn't a fan, I didn't like it. But then I heard Aaron Harris, who was brought up from, I believe he worked at Barton's and Lux Row, brought him up as the master distiller, and I contacted him and I asked him, what do you think about what they're putting out? And he said, I believe it was Bourbon Pursuit said, there can only be up from where they are now. So they invited me down for the media release, okay? And so I went down there, and I was so ecstatic at the time when it was good. They had a bottled and bond, and I liked it. It's not perfect, it's not bourbon of the year, but I liked it, so I could get behind the product. And then they have an apple brandy, it's finished in an apple brandy cask, and now they're releasing it at cask strength, And that's a unique, it's enjoyable, and they've been around since 2010, so they have mature whiskey. It was more or less, what were they doing with it? And then they also have Ann Dimmick, who used to work at Wild Turkey, she's their aging specialist. So that's exactly what you're saying. I was like, what do I do? I was driving down, and I'm like, oh, please, let this. Because what do I do? Because they want, they were talking about it, and they wanted to be a sponsor and everything like that. So, but I was just relieved that I didn't even have to say, well, I can't really just get behind your product if I don't like it. And so I can't accept your sponsorship. And that's just crazy for me, because we don't take that much for sponsorship. But you have to be honest. It's like you can't just go on the internet telling everybody that something that doesn't taste good is good. Because like you said, that's their money. And they're going to...
And it's your credibility.
Exactly.
A nail in your coffin right there.
For sure. But I think it's so inspiring to see so many craft distillers or smaller distilleries try to innovate in that way. And their people are so relatable and so kind, and they're trying to build these experiences where you can see, maybe they're not there today, but you can see where they're going in the next 2, 3, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. and like you're with them, you know, you make a bond with them now and you see where they're going. And so while maybe it's not your favorite thing in the world right now today, we can all say we see their vision and we appreciate it and we like one or two things that they're putting out. With them. Just think that's so refreshing.
No, you got
the big guys are great, but do they need the lip service, you know?
Exactly.
But you know, like Freddie knows, Sandy knows, they earn the lip service. There's places that, and same thing with Jimmy Russell, you know, and Bill said they earn it because they give you the time and they understand what they're doing. So I get that, but there are some places that, like you said, you don't. Well, I guess I don't even know of those places yet, but there might be some place like that.
I mean, it's definitely I wouldn't call it a conundrum. I mean, it's the discussion, right? You know, we respect these places that have been in business for a long time, who have family lineage, like Beams, and like Turkey, who know what they're doing for sure. And they're always going to put out a good product. But when it becomes sought after and hard to find, you know, it's like, where do you look? I think some of these craft places are trying to provide a solution to that problem in a few years of like, hey, we're going to do some family-oriented stuff, we're going to do some other new, most innovative stuff. It's not the big guys. I just like the variety of this.
And you know what? I love that craft distillers have made that niche, because if you're going to be critiquing that everything should taste like Kentucky bourbon that's being made at Beam and Buffalo Trace and Wild Turkey, then these craft distillers, that's not it. That's one of the things that I love. I love to be able to drink a bourbon where you're tasting that bready taste, or it's different. It's not the same, but it's out there that they're pulling out and filling that part of the marketplace. But, you know, also, the other aspect that I love about whiskey is I like drinkability, because I do a lot of tasting, but my favorite, when I'm drinking, you know, just for fun, I usually pick a drinkable bourbon where you're not paying all the, I just want to just drink it, enjoy the flavor, and not worry about the finish or the what, you know, that type of thing. So I enjoy that type of whiskey also, and it's a whole different marketing thing, but you know.
it's a whole discussion. Like, the whole craft thing, you would think a craft distillery needs to bring something to the table that the big guys aren't. But on the same coin, you can get a craft distillery that competes with the big guys and is bringing a similar flavor profile, but maybe just a little bit different in their own unique way. So, like, you know, I just finished a glass of Wilderness Trail, 6-year Wheaty Bourbon, which, you know, they are big, but I mean they're not located over in the craft area. But I would, my definition of craft is, you know, I know there is a technical definition, but it's still up for debate. I would still call them a craft distillery, but I think their product now that it's 6 years old is competing with the big guys. And it's not completely in left field. It's not great. It's not bringing things that you don't find in the big distilleries, but it's also different yet familiar enough.
I think
that it is competing with the big.
I think Bardstown Bourbon Company and Wilderness Trail, they're a medium distillery. They're not Barton's. They're not. You just look at their still. That's all you got to do. Your still's producing, but it doesn't come pouring out like when you go to Beam. I mean, you see that. That's just like the stream is this big for their high and low. You're just like it's like they opened the fire hydrant on the street and it's running out, and it's just running out high and low lines. And then you go to Bardstown Bourbon Company.
But also, like, I don't think we as bourbon guys, it's sort of like, you know, some people look down on chain restaurants because they're a chain, but how did they become a chain? Now, some, let's
say,
but it's like, let's not condemn anyone for success. It's like the big guys have become the big guys, they got there for a reason. So it's this whole thing about just perception and perceiving them, and how bad of them. It's like, there's so many different sides of the coin. It's not a coin. It's like,
D&D died. You said D&D died. My son will love the fact that you said D&D died. Yep, there you go. Awesome. Hey, do you guys got a league? Do you play D&D?
No, we don't play D&D. but we respect the culture.
It's more like Catan these days. That's what.
Oh my God.
Catan. And who? Oh yeah, and who wins at Catan every time?
Oh, I hate you.
I think Pat's done.
Me. Play with me because I always win.
I am. So do I.
I have a cutthroat strategy.
Yeah. My son has all the extra
expansion packs,
and he talks and he tries to.
I still win when they.
Yeah, because it's no fun. You guys don't freaking play. I always lose.
We'll play against each other.
Yes. We've
been playing since we've been here. We were here since last Saturday. Okay, running around the whole state doing. But we brought the whiskey game. Have you ever seen that? It's a game and you roll around and ask. It's called the whiskey game.
Yeah.
And it asks you scotch, bourbon. We played it enough where now the questions are being re-answered.
Yes.
But we play usually to end up the night, and there's just like all I do is start trading my cards to make it go as fast as get over because I got no chance.
It's been fun.
Yeah. It's a fun game.
So anyways. So it's great having you guys here.
Yeah. Thanks so much for stopping by.
I probably figure once I do this, put this podcast up, and then I tag you guys in it, then all of a sudden it'll be my best podcast ever. So. Hey. What?
No, that wasn't the motivation to have you at all.
No, I understand there's all ways, but you know, you guys. I mean, I had Lisa Roper Wicker, but you put her in it, and it's still going to be just kind of a normal, good podcast. But
I'm honored that you feel that way about
me. Well, I can see your numbers on YouTube. It's just like I love the fact that happens to you guys. You guys must love it too. I mean, you have a lot of people.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Right. Well, you guys do a great job. I love to watch the evolution of how your bar and everything and where your background always was, you know. But you've always had her eyes looking around. So. I mean, I actually brought my wife downstairs after the podcast.
Eyes.
And I'm like, you got to look in her eyes. They're bigger now.
She's going to be wearing sunglasses next time.
My pupils are probably bigger because I've been drinking.
Yeah, but you're usually drinking when you're on there. And also, so you can tell some nights that you're ready to go to bed and he just basically kept you up. You can tell some nights when you've been drinking already. You know, it's just, but it's fun to see you guys.
I have such a tell.
You do.
You do. How could you not? Yeah, he knows you have a tell. Am I blowing the secret?
I guess
we give it away.
Okay, it's like whenever everyone knew Chad and I were going to get married, I was the only one that didn't know. And apparently, I'm also the only one that didn't know about this.
Oh.
It's okay, I accept.
Well, it was great to have you guys on.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for inviting us.
You're welcome.
All right. We're so happy to meet you guys.
Yeah, happy to meet you too.
Likewise.
Thank you.
All right.
We are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, www.scotchybourbonboys.com. When you get there, check out our Patreon in the top right-hand corner. Go there anywhere between $5 to $250 a month. There's something. There's tastings by us. There's challenge coins. And also Glen Cairns and T-shirts. Remember, our sponsors are Logstill Distillery, Wally Lynn Dant, and Charlie Dant over there are great. We've had a great time with them here at the Kentucky Bourbon Festival. If you get down here, it's logstilldistillery.com. Check it out for any tours and tastings. And then also, remember, Watershed Distillery in Columbus, Ohio. Fantastic restaurant. Check them out. Aaron Harris, Ann Dimrick, and Greg Lehman, the owner. They have a wonderful thing going there. And then just remember the spirit of French Lick. Who can forget Alan Bishop and everything that he's been doing? The Bish. So remember, good bourbon equals good friends and good times. And go out there, live dangerously, and take chances.
Thanks, everyone.
Sing it.
I can't hear it. Just sing along. But.
Show me the way.
That wasn't bad. You know, I sort of sing and I sort of play guitar, but one of my requested numbers is, please leave now.
I tell you, we must die.
Yeah.